We're trying to finish the kudras tonight. It's the last shiur for the before the summer. So on page chaf aleph tesvav, kolsuv metzadikim on the right hand side. Eis tesvav on page chaf aleph. Kolsuv metzadikim she'ein shum klal b'chinuch. You know when you go into schools these days, and in a more old fashioned heimish type of a place, certainly much less than the more modern places. In the more state-of-the-art type of places, so in these state-of-the-art places, there's a lot of curriculum things and rules and regulations and all types of klalim of rules, meaning that there are standards that are set for the entire student body based upon research and all kinds of experts and education, people with degrees and so on. In chinuch, even though there's unquestionably a need for seder, we don't want things to be chas v'shalom hefker. Nevertheless, in general, in Yiddishkeit, there's no klal when it comes to chinuch. There's no klal in chinuch. It means that there is no specific, exact, scientific, there's no scientific way to be mechanech children. Chinuch is not a science. It's not a science. There are people that would like to make it into a science, but it's not a science. The same way you know that there are certain people that they go for courses on teaching, and they've been through all the courses, and they might officially have passed, but it's a terrible, terrible tragedy for them to be in the classroom. Some of these people, they should be doing some other kind of work, because even though they might have gotten all the rules down pat, and they remember my kids, one of my kids was taking in high school, they had to take a speech class, and the teacher was telling all the rules of public speaking about how you have to look at the window a certain way, and like my daughter showing me the notes, and I'm not a public speaker. I just learn with Jews. I'm not a speaker, but I was looking at all these notes, and I was thinking, Rabbi Shalom, how's anybody supposed to speak like that? I'm doing this already for almost 30 years. You know, even when I was from the time I was like bar mitzvah, I was talking in shuls and different things, and I'm looking at this. I'm saying, you know, you have to do this. 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 All the rules for speaking, and when it comes to teaching. Certainly there are tips and guidelines that can help people. But when you have a klal, that there's a klal. The Kuss used to say that there's a klal. The klal is that in Yiddishkeit, a klal means a rule. That in Yiddishkeit there's no such thing as a klal. And that's also not a klal. It's also not a klal. So he says, Kuss me tzaddikim she'ain shum klal v'chinuch. The tzaddikim said that there's no one way. What works for one kid doesn't work for another kid. What works with one class, the same teacher in the same school, the next year he comes in September, it's like a different heaven. It's like they're from a different planet, a different Gilgal, a different life, a different world. They're the same Jewish kids, same age, different heaven. And if the teacher's going to be rigid, this is what he did in his course, this is how he got his degree, or she got her degree, and there's going to be that way, it has to be this way. So there are a lot of sacrifices that are made. There are a lot of korbanos, a lot of children that are lost because of people who are educating according to a klal. Same thing in a house. That just because our parents raised us a certain way doesn't mean that each of our kids can be raised the same way. They're different children. It's different. Different times, different children. There's no klal. There's a daim l'mahalach al chaval, l'mahalach al chaval, she'sho'alu also eich holchim. He says this can be compared to somebody who walks on a tightrope. You know, in the circus, the fellow's walking across the tightrope. When we were kids, it was really exciting because then there was almost nothing underneath. Now already they made it like that. Now already it's not such a big deal that they fall, but it used to be very exciting, right? So, if you ask him, "Eichol chim," you know, those you'd like to do that. You want to? This looks like a lot of fun, and you want to impress your friends. And you ask the tightrope walker, "Can you tell me how to do that? You want to give me the describe to me how I should walk to get to the other side?" V'heishiv she'en l'zeh klal. How could there be a klal? How could there be a rule? Miskoyfim pam l'kan and pam l'kan. sometimes you have to bend a little this way, and you have to bend a little bit that way, and you got to make your way across. And it's the same thing in life. That's what Rabbi Nachman said. Everybody knows, of course, it's a famous song, but it's Rabbi Nachman's Torah, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Geshev Samo, the whole, all of life is a narrow bridge. Right? And one has to cross that narrow bridge. And there's no klal, because what does it mean that sometimes you have to lean this way, sometimes you have to lean that way? Every step along the way, it feels different, and the child or the adult can't necessarily say, kafakach, could you imagine? If you're in tightrope walking school, you're taking a course in tightrope walking, and they tell you that when you get after 6 feet, you have to lean to the right. 6 feet and 3 inches to lean to the left. Nebuch, the guy's not going to last. He's going to fall in a minute. Because it doesn't work like that. Like, you know, there's a famous, you ever hear of the famous ball player of the Yankees, Yogi Berra? Ever heard of Yogi Berra? He's a famous, he also said a lot of funny things. He was a very, very, he's still alive. He's a very down-to-earth, he's an old person. He's a very, very down-to-earth person. And he says things that are very real. He I don't even know if he could read. He's a very simple person. But he was once going through what's called, in baseball, it's called a batting slump. You know what a batting slump is? So a batting slump is, sometimes you have a very good ball player. This guy, it's not going, like he's having a rough spring or a rough summer, you know. Even though he's a good ball player, it's not going. So what happened was, is that they assigned to Yogi Berra a very, very great hitting expert to work with Yogi and to go through the motions and to explain everything and to work it through, right? To go, oh, well, I guess. I was just thinking, you're coming, it's the chasner, you have to come. Is thing good? Okay, good. Oh, Hashem. So they were teaching, he had all these experts come in and talk to Yogi Berra about how to time his swing and how to do this and do that and to stand in his arm. So it got worse. It was terrible. But it was bad before. He couldn't touch a ball after that started. So they asked him on the radio, Yogi, like, what's going on? So he said, I can't bat and think at the same time. You know, this is what I've been doing since I'm a kid. I get up and I do it. I can't bat and think at the same time. And it, you know, really in life, it sounds crazy, because I mean, you can't, when it comes to chinuch, there shouldn't be thinking, there shouldn't be thought. It's like if somebody goes to teach, if you're going to teach, let's say you're an English teacher, and you're teaching poetry, according to all the rules and regulations of rhyme and pentameter and rhyme and so on, you teach, guaranteed, if you do that for one semester, you're not going to have an oilam come back the next semester. And you could sit there and just explain the rules of poetry, but if you're not able to share a poem with the kids, and to get into the poem, and to read it with some warmth and passion, so then the kids poetry, even though there are certain regulations and laws that guide the poet's hand, it's true. In poetry, there's certain mahalach, but if the person's entire poetry is a poetry that's with a mahalach, it's not poetry. It can't be poetry anymore. It can't be a great poet. It's like when you read the poems that little kids write, or sometimes in these Jewish magazines, you read some of these poems that, you know, that adults write, that they're for children, and you see that it was written according to a certain klal. And it doesn't have any chiyus, there's no life to it. Same thing when it comes to raising children, when it comes to teaching, when it comes to the most important things in life. 100% there has to be a misgaret, there has to be a framework, but you can't have rules. You have to live with the moment and see what the moment is asking for, what the moment demands, and what that particular child needs. What's good for one child is not good for another child. So he says, V'heshiv she'en lezeh klal, on page Chaf Aleph. Miskoifim pam lekan pam lekan. V'kach over him. He says, how did I cross the tightrope? Sometimes you bend this way, sometimes you go this way. I don't know. What can I tell you? That's how you go. V'kosuv ben tzedikim, v'yadu l'kol mi she'misazik b'chinuch. Anybody who's involved in chinuch knows. Shalafamim, we're going to go very quickly. Shalafamim, im klolim, efshul aharos yoseh. The tzedikim taught that sometimes if you follow rigid rules, we're not talking about halacha, obviously, we're not talking about Shabbos. But if you follow these rules of chinuch, that it has to be this way, my class has to be like this, I have to do that, and this is what I have to cover this year, and this, and we're like, no, it's in the modern schools and how it works. And the whole concept of curriculum and so on, that we never had in yeshivas, that it has to be exactly like this, exactly like that. So the tzaddikim thought that sometimes you could destroy more than you could fix. Sometimes you could end up destroying more. She'en is hashalva. Why? because it takes away the shalva. The shalva means that peacefulness, a certain calm, a certain quiet, that a person feels that there's a human being that's working with him, that loves you, that's working together with you, that's growing, that's teaching with you, not that you're part of some sort of an experiment, or that your life is dictated by some board of Jewish education, or some board of education of New York, some stuffy bald headed guy that's sitting in some office and never taught in a class somewhere. If he did, it was 70 years ago, and all the students hated him back then. So why would it work now? And that's where you're gonna. That's how you're gonna teach, because they put out for you this. I had a friend of mine who was teaching in the yeshiva, and he was supposed to be teaching Jewish history. He was teaching in the afternoon. So one day the principal came in to observe with somebody from some board of something or other, came to observe. It happened that they were talking about the period of the Holocaust, and there was a kid whose grandfather went through the Holocaust, and he was very, very emotional about it, and he was asking some questions about Hashem for the Holocaust. So my friend is a big Talmud Chacham, and he felt, based upon the situation, that he needed to address the child's concerns, because the child asked the question in front of the entire class about how could Hashem let this happen, whatever, you know, about the Holocaust. Now, the board of so-and-so, that board guy was there with the administrator and principal or vice or assistant, right? There are a lot of assistant principals, a lot. In all the schools now, there's a lot of assistants. So he came in, and he was talking about emunah and trust, and you know what it means to believe in Hashem. He was trying to help this child out. He was so unbelievably berated. He got a letter from the principal that you embarrassed out of school. You're supposed to be teaching Jewish history. This was not history. What do you think, you're some hashkafa teacher? This was history. You were supposed to be dealing with it, and you're behind 2 days, you know, in the curriculum. You're supposed to, and I told the guy from the board that you're up to here and you're not up to there. So then, I understand, like, why is it that two-thirds of the kids that come out from that place end up being Michal Shabbos? So then you're wondering, like, what's going on? On the other hand, I'm not saying it should be Hefka, they should sit around talking about Hashkafa day and night. You know, and kids know how to take advantage. Kids know how to, because then they start asking the question, you know, they know how to do that. Anything to get off the topic, right? But a teacher has to work with the children within the Shabbos. It's not like a klal that you have to follow, that by April 15th you have to be here. And then what they end up doing in so many of the schools, that there's so many of the teachers that they're not keeping this or keeping that, then a week before finals they give the kids like 4,000 pages. I never even taught it. I had one of my kids that got like 40 pages, Prakim and Tanakh, the teacher taught one parak the whole year. And she has to report in at the end of the year that she did all those Prakim. It's not, she gave the kids to memorize. It was, I didn't want to get her in trouble, but it was, we didn't call it. It was a terrible avla to the children, because she had to show in June that she finished all those parakim. She didn't even finish one parak. She's absent half the time. When she's there, she's schmoozing about her kids. She's doing all different kinds of things. She's not really teaching. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks before, she announces the final parak, like, you know, Aleph to Lamed Dalet or something. And with the Radak and these little girls, they go, whoa. And my wife was up day and night with her, trying to do the Navi. And my wife's a Navi teacher. You know, you can't pull the wool over her eyes. She knows her stuff, and she knows how you should be teaching, and she's a good teacher. And it's a terrible avlo. This whole thing that it creates a certain kind of a law. You need to have a mezgeret, a framework. But it has to be a lebedik, a framework. With a lot of teaching, but also with talking. So, sometimes you could learn more. She'ein is a shalva, v'chol hazman, choshev, emosu lefi ha'klolim, she'kosu b'sefer ploni, b'sefer ploni. You go to these schools. When I went to teach, that's already 25 years ago, when I first went to teach, and it was pretty. It was pretty. What we call Hamish, but then they took a principal, like another an English principal, who was supposed to oversee the Jewish studies also, because it was like a little bit relaxed. So she gave me like different things, like books, curriculum things to fill out, you know, like what I'm doing each day. And I always joke with her, because that's 25 years ago. I never, Baruch Hashem, wrote one curriculum in 25 years. Not one. She'd always say, Maish, what's going on? I said, soon, I'm going to give these. Soon. I'm getting it ready. And the principal said, what's the difference? The kids are enjoying it and they're learning, and he was very much like that. And I know I'm not saying that one shouldn't do that. That was wrong of me. I should have tried. But I can't do that. I couldn't do that the same way that I can't fit in Bechlal, like into any like that kind of a box or curriculum. And where am I up to by March 1st? And I don't know. I'm trying to go from Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chai Yechida. So by March 1st, I don't know if I'm up to Ruach yet. So where am I going to go? So I can't. I'm not up to Chai Yechida. I'm only up to Nefesh or Ruach, and you can't go like that with children. You have to work with the neshamas. You have to talk to them and enjoy, and you have to sometimes go play some ball with them and have a good time. And you can't go like that, like in a box. Like it says, he says, you go follow the rules. Shakosu v'sefer ploni v'sefer ploni v'chadoyim v'chadoyim. Like it says in this book, it says in that book. Mezaloh haderach. This is not the derach. This is not the way to teach. Every child has his own way of being educated, and every Rebbe and every Mora and every teacher has her own way. And if he or she is good and they know how to talk to kids, leave them alone. Leave them, let them do it, and it'll work. And not only that, but in the home. Hashem gives the parents, the father and the mother, the kaiches, the ability to deal with each kid according to what he or she needs. And what's for one kid is not for the other kid. Each kid needs something else. But there is a general guiding principle that the house has to be filled with warmth, chamimus, as we learned. It has to be chamimus. In shalva and peace and simcha and joy, lechtig, it has to be lechtig, it has to be shining. Kol Suda Shabbos Kodesh, Zmir Shabbos Kodesh. Every Shabbos meal. Right, we spoke about this also. I'm going to go late tonight a little bit. I'm going to have to finish. If you have to leave, you'll leave. But every you have homes, also Shabbos, the meal. The kids dread being at the Shabbos table. Sit up straight. Mm-hmm. Do this, do that. Sing. Someone sing. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Baruch Hillel, you know, Shinoz HaMenuchim. And the Dvar Torah is the Dvar Torah. It's not for the child. It's something which is just like some fancy thing. And the kids just get lost, and they're not feeling Shabbos, and there's no happiness. They're not looking forward to the table. The kid, sometimes you're in a house, and the parents are so makbid that the kid can't go to sit on the couch a little bit to play with his sister or brother. You have to sit like this, and you have to come like that, and you have to, and how they eat, and what they eat, and everything. It's like you feel in Abachli's kids, or it's like being in the army or something. It's such a pacha, the kid has to sit there like that, under such control. It's not how the Vaishnava doesn't want children to grow up with that kind of feeling. Well, not, again, I'm not saying that they should be jumping from the chandeliers and breaking things, but it has to be simcha. They have to enjoy themselves. They have to look back with and have good memories that they weren't in boot camp, that they were in their home. Zmir Shabbos Kodesh, Oyden Dabes Ezam Seres Bavachin, Bimei Achol. And during the week, Sheyelad Bo HaBayisa, when a child comes home, Imhu Margi Shabbalah Mokam Shal Menucha, if he feels that when he comes into his house, he's coming to a place of Menucha, it's a place of rest. Rest here doesn't mean sleeping. It means it's a place where there's quiet. And again, quiet doesn't mean that there aren't kids running around. It means where he feels good. Where the kid feels when he comes to this house, he feels good coming home. Mokam Shal Shalva. Not the place of the parents. If this kids feel with this tension between parents, it's very, very terrible. With this tension between parents, and he feels the kids are in the house, and he feels that the parents look at each other a certain way and are talking with a tension, and there's always one of the parents is always nervous, and the kids are always afraid if they say the wrong thing, if they open the door the wrong time, or if they make a little bit too much of a noise, everything is with pachad. If a kid to grow up in a house like that, without the shalva, without that menucha, and especially it's hard when you know that there are certain times in the house where things get a little bit out of control. Erev Shabbos, like Friday, right? Erev Shabbos, especially when Shabbos comes in early, but it's really the same, everybody knows this. The Shabbos 8 o'clock, Shabbos 4 o'clock. That's how it is. There's always that feeling, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, that comes in Erev Sukkot, Erev Pesach. It could be very tense. There's a lot of lachats. Things are going on. It's busy. Erev Pesach, Erev Simcha, or if it's a day of a chasna, I just stay away. I got to tell you, I'm the girls with the business with the makeup and the hair and all this stuff. I just go with my son, and we just go someplace. And I ask my wife, tell me what time to report. I'll be, you know, I'll get to Williamsburg or wherever you tell me. I'm not sticking around for this. The girls with their mignonim going on there with the gowns, and oh my goodness, the whole thing is a big thing. So. You have to be careful. It's Erev Simcha. There's a lot of tension, and it's such a big thing that Davka for the Chasna and Kala. That I always do when I talk to Chasanim and Kalas, the day of the Chasna. For a Chasna, it's a little bit easier because it's not so with the hair and the makeup. But the girls, it's a lot of. But with the boys, especially, that it's such a big thing that on the day of the Chasna, should be quiet. Can say some Tilim. It's unbelievable Tilim the day of the Chasna. And to have some yeshiva das and menucha should be quiet as much as possible, a quiet day, not the telephone, not friends over, just quiet and peaceful, and to be able to do tshuva and to daven and so on, and to be in your home a little bit for the last few hours when you're still single. It's such a big inyan. And Davka the Yetzirah comes, and the other side comes to shter when it's before Simcha to make fights and to get in the way and to cause tension between the husband and the wife, and the girls get very, very worked up and nervous, and the day of the Chasna, which is that's the biggest Yom Kippur of the Kala's life, it's the biggest Yom Kippur of the Chasna's life, it's the Yom Kippur of all Yom Kippurs of that person's life, and they spend the whole day like arguing over eyeshadow or face or nail polish, I don't know, and narishkeit, even though of course the Kala should look beautiful, everything should be taken care of, but this Yetzirah to get into fights and to lose the Yishev Adas and Menucha. What an unbelievable thing that a child should grow up in a house where even Erev Shabbos, it's busy. Busy doesn't mean nervous. Busy doesn't mean nervous. My father always said that in the house when we were growing up. Busy doesn't mean that you have to be nervous. It means be busy. Do what you have to do. This is what you have to do now to take care of it. Don't be nervous. Just be busy. It's very hard, but the child feels so much better when he's in a house where she's in a house where it's ragua, where there's a feeling of peace in the house. It's not a feeling of tension and arguing and yelling and everybody on each other's nerves and so on and overreacting, make dramatic. There's certain homes that everything's very, very dramatic in the house, very dramatic. If a kid drops something, it's all dramatic, and the mothers, the fathers, the whole thing. It shouldn't be dramatic. It should be just quiet and easy in the house, not so dramatic. Of course, it's very, very hard, especially if the little ones close in age. It's so hard to hold on to that and to have yeshiva das and so on. It's very, very hard. He's going to talk about this in a few minutes, and we'll get to it a little bit later, about when the Baruch Shalom sees that there are parents who take it easy when their kids make too much noise or drop things or break things, and the Baruch Shalom is much, much nicer to the parents when they break things, like halachas. You know, and when they're not so good with their things, then the Baruch Shalom has rachmanis on the parents. Those parents that are tough on their kids, it says in the song, the Baruch Shalom says, "Ooh, you hold so much that parents have to be every single thing. There are rules, yeah. Every single thing are rules. And if the kid missed this by 5 minutes, or did that 10 minutes, or went to sleep, you have a house where the kid has bedtime 7 o'clock. I understand the mother's losing her mind the whole day from the children, 7 o'clock. But 7 o'clock, if it's not 7 o'clock, you never saw such a hakkadah, not by mincha marv or anything. There should be such a 7 o'clock. But the candle lighting, she's not so makbid. It could be 7:06. She gets 18 minutes. The kids don't get 18 minutes in Lebanon. That's only in the Shabbos candles, right? The kids don't get the extra 18 minutes. They deserve at least 18 minutes. That's why it's my cheshvan. In our house, they usually have like 18 hours. It's crazy. So it can't be like that. Akpah, the 7 o'clock, pinklich, exactly 7 o'clock. It's not 7 o'clock. A kid doesn't work like that. It could be 7, it'd be 10 after 7, a quarter after 7. Again, it's not supposed to be hefker, but it can't be like that, 7 o'clock. And then the mother gets all upset, or the father, mother, usually the mother's the one that has to take care of these things. The mother gets so upset if the kid didn't, it's already 7 o'clock and you didn't brush your teeth, and and the kid goes to bed and the mother's upset and says, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kinesh, Shema Chat. And then the kid goes to bed And doesn't, the kid doesn't know, what, the kid's a yak or something? How does he know if it's 7 o'clock, it's 7:10? So the mother says, look at the clock, it's a digital clock, I got you. You don't have to even know how to read time. It says 7:09, you didn't brush your teeth yet. Okay, so what is that? That's such a big aveira. That's such a big aveira. If the kid would tell the truth, he'd say, I see you do much, much bigger aveiras than that. What's the big deal? It's 9 minutes, it's a big aveira, 9 minutes. But the kids that grow up like that, and it creates an unhappiness. You know, it's not a terrible, terrible, but the atmosphere, the kid feels that everything is like, my father's going to get angry if I say one word. My mother's going to get upset if I'm this minute late. I'm always walking on eggshells. It's not good. It's not a good thing. On the other hand, of course, it can't be crazy. It's obvious it can't be crazy. And the children have to know there's a Seder. But not on eggshells, not to be nervous in the house. In the left-hand column, right, there's a big Yetzahara, especially in our times. Especially those times like Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach, Erev Yontif, Simcha, and so on. There's a big Yetzahara. It's very hard to overcome the Yetzahara. The truth is, the tzaddik says, if a house is a house where there's no, where there's tension and unhappiness, the kids want to run away. They don't want to be there. They want to run away. And then you have sometimes the parents that say, I can't, you know, they're so angry. How come the kid, I had a conversation with somebody, not from the community, a conversation with somebody from Muncie today. It was hard to believe. It was just, you know, it's hard to believe. He has so many tainas against the son that the son doesn't want to come to the house. But the son told me such horror stories. And the father admits, I said, like, why do you think your kid wants to be in the house after the stuff that goes on? And then he yells at him, how come he doesn't come home? What kind of rush are you? And the kid is going through terrible things in the house. Terrible things. The kid doesn't want to be home. So then the father has more time to say, how come he doesn't want to come home? The kid wants to go away. It's the will of Hashem, our Father in heaven. He wants what? That a child, especially little children, should always feel good. Even if he's a teenager, he's an older bacher. Listen, this is such an important sentence, he says. Every child goes through difficulties internally and externally. Ma'at shiyodim. Most of the problems that the kids have, we don't even know about. They don't tell us. Even if you're the best parents, most of the stuff the kids have, they keep inside themselves. They don't talk about. They don't know how to talk about. They're afraid that maybe their parents are going to be upset. They don't know. V'harbe harbe mashallah yoydim. There's a lot that the parents don't know that the kids are walking around with paklach. And if they would tell you, then you would be able to help them. That it's nothing. Don't worry. It's okay. They have things on their hearts, on their minds, that they don't know how to express. They're afraid of different things. They're upset. In school, a friend said something. A teacher looked angry. And the kid is walking around and they don't know what to do and they don't know what to say. When the kid comes home, all he wants to be able to do is walk into a house and feel, which means that Hashem protects me in the shadow of His warmth, and the child wants that from his parents. He needs a place to hide from the world. The house, like we learned at the very beginning of this Torah, the house is like a Noah's Ark, right? It's a place to run away. A person has to be able to run away from the entire world to be in his house. But he knows that there's one place where he can come where it's always going to be, he's always going to feel warm and welcomed and wanted. And that doesn't mean that they can't discipline the child. That's not true. They can. He can be disciplined, but it has to be the seich. V'schayv shiyah b'b'chinas k'nesha ye'ir kino. Every house has to feel like the nest. Where the eagle, the mother bird, hovers over the nest and protects the little ones, that the child should feel protected. When the kid comes to the house, he has to feel that I'm the most important thing. I'm the most important person here. I'm very, very important in this place. Because a lot of times when they go in school, you have kids that are sitting in the class with 30 kids, you know, whatever, 25 kids, 30 kids. So who are you and what are you and, you know, and line up and go here and do this in the class, and they come into the house to be the most choshev person in the house. Shonichnas l'makom shevaitz on my side, shvichem my side. When he comes home, he has to feel there's a place where they want me and they need me in this house. That's why it's so good to give children things to do and to say, for the mother to say, I need help with this, and the father to say, I need help with this. We learned about this, to get the children to feel that they're needed. They're not in the way, not just a tircha that I have to deal with you, so I'm like, you know, like this thing that you're in my way, and as soon as I get you to bed, I can watch my show, or I could go to my chasna, I could go to exercise, and you're in my way, get out of my way. And even though parents don't talk like that, God forbid, but the children could feel that. Had to try to get close to each child. What does that mean? Especially in a large family. It's an interesting thing because you have people that have one child or two children and they have the same problem as people that have 15. Sometimes the people with 12, 15 children have less of a problem than the person with one or two. It all depends, as he spoke about 1,000 times, it all depends what you expect in life. If you're a parent and you expect to have the same life that you had before you're a parent, you're going to have a lot of disappointments and you're going to be very, very angry and impatient. There's a young mother from our community who told me recently that she was makabel in herself that until all the children are married, that she's going to have very little sleep and a lot of, you know, complications and difficulties. She was makabel on herself. She said ever since she accepted this upon herself, that this is what her life is about, she's much better. Mm-hmm. Because as long as she felt that she's still a teenager, with a little run by the mall and her little run into the exercise place and her little thing, a stroll along the boardwalk and her little time out with hubby and all these nice little projects that nowadays everybody, as we spoke about, I need, it's no longer a luxury, I need my space, I need my time, I need this time out, I need that. Our mothers and grandmothers never had such a sogus that they needed that. If they ever got a few minutes, it was a gewaldige luxury that I need. So this girl, she said, I was makabel myself that it's going to be very hard until I'm 40 or something. It'll be very, very hard. You know, the children, and basically the kids, and this is what I have to do and to go. She says, and when I did that, something like lifted off of me. Because I was always angry with the children. They're keeping me away from aerobics. They're keeping me away from the boardwalk. They're keeping me away from the restaurant. They're keeping me away from visiting this friend and spending time with that friend and watching this show and going to this place. And I was always upset with the kids that they were in my way. You're messing up my life. Yeah.
I just want to add, because this and so on, yeah, really helped me be a parent. Because she said, like when I was the first day on the phone, I had so much more. She goes, if you said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I have children, that's why I have one.
Right.
And you do everything, it really helps.
It's a tremendous help. It all has to do with a person's attitude. Right. It has to do with a frame of mind. That's all it is. One person's bracha is another person's klala. For this, we had somebody in the house. I told this to you recently. We had somebody in the house. One of my daughter's friends was in the house with her 18 siblings. And all my wife wanted to know was, how do you, like with breakfast, laundry, just tell me what goes. My wife just wanted to hear, like, how does that work? How do you do that? Like, how do you do that? And she was saying how the mother's gewaldig and it's like a team. And I'm thinking, you know, you have families with it where there are mothers that are going through terrible, terrible yisurim suffering where there's one child or two children and they can't cope with full-time help with somebody in the house. Ach, Kenish, my life is not the same. And then they're already saying, I can't have a kid for the 12 years. This is too much for me and so on and so forth. Which, of course, it's hard. It all depends on the person's attitude. That's sort of the person's attitude. If you expect that it should be easy, then okay. Like somebody is getting married, and they said that somebody asked me about birth control, and they're getting married. So I say, if you're not ready to have kids, then you shouldn't get married. Why are you getting married? You're young. You're not old. So why do you want to have kids? They want to have 3 years. I said, so get married in 3 years. But Rabbi, we love each other. So then Hashem is both will help you if you love each other so much. It'll be good. It shouldn't be gewaldig. I said, we're going to go now. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to go up to Shemayim and we're going to meet the baby that's waiting in Shemayim to come down. Right? It's waiting. That neshama that's waiting. And we're going to introduce you to the baby. And I want you to tell that child, I'll see you in 3 years. you're not going to be able to do it. You just don't know the child. I promise you that once you meet her, or you meet him, it's going to be gewaldig. And you're not going to regret it. But this whole idea of that we have to get to know each other and spend time, and we have to grow with each other, you know, all of these ra'ayonot, these ideas that come not from the Jewish world at all. It's not from our camp of Yiddishkeit. It's from a different world. And the hashpah, the influence that this has had on our generation is terrible, because it makes life much less happy. It takes away your simchas hachayim. Because if you're expecting to be the same as you were when you were single, with some slight variations, because now you could, you know, like have pictures on your piano and show everybody how pretty your kids are. That's really all you expected out of this, you know, and some like cute little things that the kids say. And but when it comes to being up at 3 a.m, and when it comes to encroaching upon your territory, you're always disappointed and upset and angry and hurt, and what's happened to my life, and my life is out of control. So then you're unhappy. Then you have no simchas hachaim. You lose your whole simchas hachaim. So Rav Tzvi Meir is saying over here that you have to try to get to know each child and spend a little time. Look what he says. He says that Lenosu Kesel Liskayv Lekol Yad Liskayv Elov Maod Kamish Hashayach. Of course, only according to what one is able to. Lenosu Lishmo, so to try to hear the child. Lenosu Shiyaz Man Kavu Lechol Tam Lechol Yad Lechud. Doesn't have to be a lot, but to try to have a few minutes to spend with a child. A couple, 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes, a little bit to spend alone with a child. That besides talking to all of the kids together, that there should be a set time for each kid, a little bit. After everything is said and done, you could go to a million seminars about parenting and raising kids. This is the greatest shmirah. This is the greatest way to make sure that our kids are going to go in the right way. This is the biggest shmirah. You don't have to really go to the seminars. You don't have to read special, you know, books and magazines about parenting. You don't really have to. The Rabbi Shalom has given each parent, each Rebbe, each teacher, the koyach that he or she needs. The father has his koyach. The mother has her koyach. The teacher, the Rebbe, every Rebbe, every teacher, every parent, for each kid, each age of the kid's life. The Marshal gives you exactly what you need in order to be mashpi in that kid, to give that kid what he or she needs. Especially when it comes to the women. So Simei gives special chiddush, a special chizik for the women. Beis Yaakov, Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai. Kaisan of Beis Yaakov means the women. So we understand that if the women are called Beis Yaakov, that's long before there was a Beis Yaakov movement, right? So it means the house. The house is primarily the mood of the house, the atmosphere of the house. We spoke about this a lot. The whole tzura of the house is primarily established by the women. That Hashem prepared us to give us the Torah. How did He prepare us? He said, "Go tell Beis Yaakov, which is the women, because the women. How do you prepare the children to receive the Torah? You want a house where the boys should learn Torah. You want a house where the girls should grow up in the way of the Torah. It's so important that the women give the children that feeling of what." Of warmth, and that feeling when they come home from school. I really, you know, it says things in books, but really the truth is that I heard stories like this from my father about how my grandmother, I mean, I never met her, but how in Europe she would be standing outside the Beis Medrash. Really, it's not like from a book. My father told me that she would stand outside the Beis Medrash with things for him during lunch, that he shouldn't have to leave the Beis Medrash during lunch. She would bring him something to eat in the Beis Medrash. And that kind of warmth, that kind of rachmanis, and that the children come home from school, that the mother shows so much excitement and happiness with what they're learning and with what they're doing, and to draw their hearts with good words, that the kids should have a cheshek for Torah, There were so many beautiful songs in Yiddish that our grandmothers and great-grandmothers knew. I mean, obviously not the Sephardim. They had their own songs. But the Ashkenazim, that in Yiddish, such beautiful, beautiful lullabies and songs about Torah, and that the little boys, what they heard, and that the little girls grew up hearing about davening and about Hashem, such beautiful things. It didn't have to be on tape recorders. It didn't have to be with headphones, or to put on a VCR or on a machine and to walk out of the room. What was the mother giving over herself and her heart and her essence, mamish? How the mothers watch the children and teach them to be God-fearing. That's why in order to prepare us to receive the Torah in Har Sinai, Hashem had a few special words with the women, Beis Yaakov. Because he understood that in order that the Jews should receive the Torah, and even now, in order that Torah should be received in any Jewish home, to a large extent it's going to be up to that behavior of the mother. Like we learned last week, that the person said that my mother, when I was very little, she smeared me with creams and lotions, and she gave me warm drinks, and that is why in my older age I'm a God-fearing Jew. From those simple things that mothers do, you know, a little lunch and you put a smiley on it and say I love you, those little things are the ikka that give a child a ruts, and when they go to school they have a skip in their walk. When they got something nice from mommy, a little pinch, a good word, the whole day they have a ruts to learn, they feel good, even if somebody says something, the teacher says something not nice, or a kid says something not nice, if his mother gave him a pinch and a little bit of the thing and a little bit of a, so then the whole day the kid has a shmira that he's not going to be, God forbid, destroyed by any of the things that go on. He'll be okay. But he has to get that from the mother, a little bit of a chizuk, a good word, a kind word. She watched Yitzchak so carefully. Even though Avraham Avinu, as we learned already at the beginning, even though Avraham Avinu was ready to tolerate Yishmael's presence, Sarah Yemenu said, he's not staying in the house with Yitzchak. She guarded Yitzchak. We see the same thing with Rivki Yemenu, with Yaakov, the mother, even though the father was prepared to try to work, he wanted to work it out, but the mother made a shmira, she protected the child. And Hashem agreed with Sarah Yemenu. Avraham Avinu didn't agree. And Hashem told Avraham Avinu, listen to what she's telling you. She's right. They can't be together, Yishmael. They can't be together. How much of a responsibility do we have when we see, God forbid, that one of the children has a friend that's not a good friend, and to have a seichel, have to try, it's very hard, have to try to protect our children from a friend that's not a friend, and to protect from a group that's not a good group, a chasher sholem. Not just the field that I send my kid to camp, Shine Potter, you go to the bus, bye-bye, or they go to school in the morning, finished, you Potter, that you have to keep an eye and to know what's going on, to be careful and to ask and to think. At the same time, not to be a nudnik that the school wants to throw your kid out because they get stuck with some crazy mother or something. You have to do things in a normal way, but it has to be with seichel. It has to be with seichel. Achimah Abi is a kayach shalai. The father is a special kayach. And it says, the Rebbe Shalom wants that the Rebbe should have a love for each kid, even though it's certain kids that you don't feel that to begin with you don't feel that you love that kid. It's hard, it's a difficult kid, it's a kid that has a different personality and is hard and talks and carries on and so on, it's nasty, but you have to go out of your way to try to give to that kid and to be good to that kid. And eventually you'll come around and you'll love the child. You put a lot of kaychas, you know, you have difficult children in your house, the ones that you feel like, I can't love this kid, the kid is such a hard kid. But when you put kaychas into the kid and you give of yourself, you'll love the child, you'll love your child, the more kaychas you put into the kid. I told you this story. There was somebody that came to look in the yeshiva to get a shidduch for his daughter, and he had his eye on a certain boy, and he was watching him the whole week, and he saw this boy as a gevaldige boy, and he asked the yeshiva, and she, you know, I saw this boy for my daughter, so yeshiva said, that boy in the corner is my only son, right, my ben yochid. So he was very flustered. He said, oh, I didn't mean to say that I could marry those shivas, you know. that my daughter should marry if she had a son. So I have a second, you know, like a runner-up, who's that? So he says, that guy, the boy in the other corner over there, Gerald. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, Blazer goes and said, that's my only child. So he asked, how could that be that, how could it be you have two only children? He says, I have 400 only children. That's a Rebbe. That's a Rebbe. Every child's my only child. 400 only children. 400 banim yechidim. And if the Rosh Yeshiva, and if he said that, he meant it. He wasn't, Blazer Gordon, there was no messing around there. But he said that that's what it was. That's my only child. So he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, how many only children do you have? I have 400. Can I know, right? 400. That's what it means. It says in Kriyashma, you should teach your sons, and Chazal tell us, Elo Talmidim. This is referring to students, and therefore there has to be a tremendous amount of love. That's why I go to the bottom paragraph. We're going to skip a little bit because we have to try to move to the end. Each rabbi, each parent tries to do what he can to give love to the child, or to give light. And by doing this, you create a wall of fire to protect your child. It's a weak generation. He said, we're living in a hard time, and there are a lot of kids that they're hard kids and they're difficult, and they don't listen to their parents. And then you have certain times in a kid's life where the kid goes to like teenagers. There's a whole, you know, there's certain years. There's some kids not, some more, some less. But then the Darach Klal, during the years like between 13 and 19, 18, 19, some of the kids that's like, came out impossible, you feel to talk to them and to deal with them, and they're hard and angry and you don't know what to do. He says, Shiyashim Kan Madabim Kal, he says, obviously it's just sitting here, it's very easy for me to say these things. When it comes down to working, it's very hard. He says, I know it's hard. The b'cholos, b'bais in the house, b'yeshiva, and the yeshiva, and kita, and the shir. He's calling him atzov. All different types of situations. But Hashem wants us to know. Shakol mashal, every little drop. Shayisim u'mashkiim b'inyin hazeh. Any little thing that we could do, every little drop. Lias kula or to make, this verse I mean this, to try to work on me this. Lias kula or to make the house shining. He says, "Afilu shaharbe pomim noifilu v'nechshalim," and we need this chizik. Even though many times you see that what, that you messed up, what happened? Soakim, you yelled at the kid. Makpidim chazusham, you were makpid. You didn't do it right. He says, "B'chalayfen," afterwards, etzem zeshem shtadlim anasim. It's okay. Start again. Try again. Keep on trying. And the very fact that you keep on trying, zel levad hayeladim mavchinim v'roim. You see this? The kids are able to tell when the parents are trying. So if you had a bad day and you yelled at the kid, so don't be a knock. Go over to the kid and say, I'm sorry, and give a kiss and say, help me, I'm going to try. I don't want to lose my temper. I'm trying. And the kids see that you're trying. It means a lot to them. And the kids are very forgiving, much more than we are. Kids are very, very forgiving. Kids will let you mamish 1,000 times. They'll give you another chance, but if they see that you don't care and you're not working on it, you're not trying to break your midah of kas, you just are an angry person. If you're an angry person and the kids become either angry or they run away from the house, they don't. But if they see that you sometimes lose your temper, but you want to be good and you're saying, I'm sorry, and you try again, and the kid sees that you're trying, then the kid could love you even though you have a couple of bad days, and it happens sometimes. The kid's okay. The kid's not going to get messed up because you had a bad day. If the kid sees that you don't want to be that way, you know, and it hurts you, and you're able to cry and not to be a big shot, and you're able to cry and say, I don't want to be this way. I'm trying, help me. I don't want to be this way. And that's nothing to be embarrassed about. Adrabba, the children love you even more, and they see that you're humble and that you're trying. Because children always hear us making demands from them. Be this, do this, do that. I expect this, I expect that. And report cards. We never have to show them our report cards, yeah? They usually do much better than we do. We never have to show them any report cards. So, but if the children see that we're trying, you know, that we care, so we get, you know, an E for effort, they'll give us, you know. You could sometimes have a bad day, but as long as the kids see that you're trying. And he says, Zelavad may be shalvan. Just seeing that there are parents that are trying. It's not hefka. They're trying. That brings peace in the house. And the fruit that this bears, unbelievable, beautiful fruit. With every little thing that we do. And what is this? How does this help us in our lives? Let's look at the next paragraph. We're just going to go very quickly. It'll be like 10 extra minutes. Our Father in heaven wants us to know that we should never forget that we're his little children. Even though we feel like we're adults, we're grown ups, in Hashem's eyes, we're his little children. Yaakovinu, when he was talking about the last generation before Mashiach comes, he said to Esav, I have to move along. Esav said, come join me, remember? And Yaakov said, I have to move with the children slowly. I have to go slowly, et, at their own pace. Yaakovinu was talking about us, and Hashem's Baruch, we're asking him to give us time, and Hashem shall walk with us at our own pace, because if he demands from us what we demand from our children, God forbid, we're in big trouble. That Hashem's Baruch, we ask him to go at our own pace, according to the children's ability. And we're also Hashem's children. This is the generation before Mashiach comes. We're also little children. A weak generation. Impatient. Right, culminate chulshes and many other weaknesses. When Hashem sees that we, meaning his children, treat our children with tolerance and treat our children with patience, and that we're good and loving to our children, benaiche, in a peaceful, gentle way, kachum isnaig yitano ba'ifin, so will he treat us. He'll work with us at our pace. He'll go with us at our pace. If we try to be good, we try as much as possible in a holy way to what? To be patient. It brings the greatest protection upon your house. Every member of the household, adults and children. Much more so than this policy or that policy. It brings the greatest shmira of the house. Unbelievable. That's why it's called the Teva. We spoke about this at the beginning. That's why it's called Noach's Ark. Tevas Noach. Noach means peace, menucha, quiet. Noach umaloshon kol neichem sitz kedusha means neichem, means nachas, it means menucha. Zebaynes a Teva. That builds up the Ark. When there's Noach, when there's menucha, when there's peace, when there's quiet, that builds the Teva. That builds your house. It's a shmir, a neich, a gishmak, a menuch, a vizogu, kol panem, b'yifan echar v'sibach, as madu, kol mashu, a havev, a gishmak, v'simcha, shemach nisam, l'bayis, l'mokum teire, maybe shmir, at suma, and that's able to bring every tiny drop of simcha, of broch, of nachas, that you bring into the house, it creates a tremendous shmir. Pech chav gimel. This is about Aaron HaKohen. I spoke about this nabach a little bit by Rob Weinberg's mother passed away, and at the Levi on Friday I spoke a little bit about this, because it struck me when he was describing his mother to me, that Aaron HaKohen, I'll say this outside only because it's so late, Aaron HaKohen, as you know, there was nobody that ever lived that was able to bring as many Jews back in such a sweet way to Hashem as Aaron HaKohen. Oyev Shalom, Roydev Shalom, Oyev Sabriyas, and a caravan Latayra, that he mamish loved everybody, and he brought everybody back to Hashem. And how did Aaron have such a koyach? From where did Aaron have this ability? In other words, how does one become a Kiruv expert? Yeah, you can go now. I see advertised all the time in the Jewish newspapers, Kiruv this and Kiruv that, and you go take courses on Kiruv. Same thing, a course on Kiruv. What's Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen never went to any courses on Kiruv. It's one word. It's called Ahava. When the Kohen gives a brachas, Levarchas Am Yisrael, be Ahava with love. And the way of Aaron HaKohen was that what? That he cared about each and every Jew, what was going on in the life of every Jew. And he smiled and he greeted each Jew in the warmest, most loving way, in the kindest way. That's how he treated every Jew. And I explained this from Rabbi Eger the other day, that it says that when Hashem created the world, it says by all of creation, every day it says, Vayhi chein, and it was so. Except when it came to the creation of light, it doesn't say, Vayhi chein, and it was so. So it was, or yes, it was. It doesn't say Vayhi chein. Why? Because the wicked were not worthy to use that hidden light of creation. So it was hidden. It doesn't say Vayhi chein. It was hidden for the tzaddikim. So Blaibel Egge says an unbelievable thing. When would this light be revealed? When Aaron HaKohen would light the menorah. Because when Aaron HaKohen light the menorah, it says in the Torah, Vayas Kain Aaron. Rabbi Leibel says that Aaron fixed the cane of Bereishis. Vayas Kain Aaron. He lit the menorah. In other words, he revealed the hidden light. So Rabbi Leibel said, and how did Aaron do that? So he says, because Kain means yes. Means yes. Vayhi Kain means yes, it was. He said, most people in the world, when they see somebody that's not acting nicely, they think, no. No, that's not a good person. No, I don't like this person. No, this is not for me. In a house, no. The kid hears all the time, no, 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 no. Everything is no. In yeshiva, no. Aaron's whole life was what? Ayaz, Cain, Aaron. Everything by Aaron was yes. The whole world said about this Jew, no, and Aaron said yes. The whole world looked at him and Aaron looked at him with a smile. That's how you make Kaya of Jews. Ayaz, Cain, Aaron. With ahava, with chavivas, with a smile. In that way, and he says that's the biggest yisoid of all of Yiddishkeit. That's the biggest yisoid, because then when the child sees that everything is vayas kain, that not that you say yes to everything the kid wants. That's ridiculous. The kid can't do things. You have to tell the kid what to do. But the kid sees in you that you're a Vayas Kain kind of person. If he would stop during the day and think, you know, Vayas Kain. Am I Kain or am I a low person? What am I? Am I positive or am I negative? Vayas Kain. That Aaron was able to reveal the hidden light and he lit up the life of a million Jews. You know how? Vayas Kain Aaron. Not by going to a seminar in Kiruv. Not by going to a seminar in Kiruv. I have all the time, different people call me, some new person starting off and they want to talk to me, somebody said talk to me about Kiruv. So I don't know, I don't know what the rules are. Same thing as we thought was the rules to Makarv. I don't know. No, you try to say good morning, good Shabbos, you don't have to know things by heart. I'm not an expert in anything like this. Every person who is warm and who's loving, who's caring. Everybody always, you have these people that always have tinyus against Lubavitch, this Lubavitch. I'm not talking about Meshichas, I'm talking about Lubavitch. Where's the Hatzlach? Lubavitch is Gevaldig Hatzlach. All these other people, they can't hold a candle up to what Lubavitch has done. Where did Lubavitch have all of the Hatzlach? Because the whole Indian of the Lubavitch Rebbe, Schusi again, with Al-Kay Yisrael, the whole Indian of the Lubavitch Rebbe was Vayas Kain. Everything about the Lubavitch Rebbe was yes. Whoever met him, yes. You had all these other Rashivas that are saying, this is no good, this is no good, this is no good, I won't talk to him, I won't go here, I won't do this, no good, no good, no good. By the Lubavitch Rebbe, yes, Cain. And he produced an army of, like, positive people. It's the most meridic thing. You meet these people. You know, I'm not talking about philosophy. I'm not saying, because there are problems, we understand, because since the Rebbe died, and there are big problems. But everybody I ever met from that Chevra, it's always Vayas Cain. Simchon. How you doing? And let's go. And the Rebbe did this. And he spoke to the women separately. He spoke to the men. You know, and I know that the Vayas low people or the negative people that are going to hear this, I'm going to be in trouble because I'm not allowed to say nice things about Lubavitch, right? I'm not embarrassed. I'm proud that there are such Jews in the world. Vayas Kain. Everything is Kain. You need a place for Shabbos. Kain. You need someone to put their arm around you, Cain. Everything's Vayas Cain. I never saw such a thing. There's nothing to judge, and who are you, and where are you, and where you're holding, and Vayas Cain. The Rebbe taught thousands of people like that. Just Vayas Cain. Give food and a place to stay, and a niggin, and a lechayim, without any low. And everybody's trying to find out how do we become Kiruv professionals. Where did Lubavitch Rebbe take a seminar in Kiruv? Because his heart was the heart of the Elder Malach, was exploding with love of Jews. He thought about every Jew on earth. And it was Vayas Cain. So when he met somebody in 10 seconds, he lit the person, like Aaron in the, it lit the candles. That's how he lit up a Jew. Because when you met him, when you met Lubav Shiva, you met Vayas Cain. He looked at you with such love. He looked at you with love, and you knew that he knew everything you did wrong also. And Afal Pichain, he told you with his eyes, he said, Vayas Cain, you could be good. And you are good, and you could be even better. And that's how you encourage people. That's the Yisayit of Yiddishkeit. He brings you in the second column, we're going to end in 2 minutes. He brings you on the Chaf Gimel on the left hand side. There's a Maisa. Well, let's read the last column there. We'll finish up. He says, Ubavada Yesh Dargis B'lishia. He says, there's no end, different levels. Kamis Kashas Yochalias Ben Avla Ben Rav La Talmud. Different levels of connection between a parent and a child, a Rebbe and a student. For us, Nagnish Roshvaim, Shekaseid in the Shtadl, Chazik is Kashas, as to try to strengthen the Kesha. Vyeshkama Yifanim Echla Gila, there are a number of ways to get that, to accomplish it. Vyachod, Niyikari Yifanim Hu Ribu Yahavish, as a maybe is Kashas Godel. That's why when you spend a little bit of time alone with a kid, you take the kid for a ride, you do something small like that, you leave a little note in the lunch, the kid feels his Kashas. Like they kashrus is a poilim, and then the kid wants to make his parents happy. When the kid feels that he's special, you love him, then he wants to make you feel. He doesn't want you to be disappointed, even if you're not watching him. He thinks, will my father be happy with me? Will my mother be happy with what I'm doing? Shayelu atalmud avkishiyeshlo ezayetzah has shamas says that the kid has a little bit has a yetzar to do something wrong, and his parents are not there, and the rebbe's not there. Va'afachad enorah, and nobody sees. Choshev Lasma, what does this kid think? Shekevan Sheim Avi HaRebbe HaYodeh Mashakari Iti Achshav HaYiloch HaLish Zadas. If my father would see me doing this, he would feel bad. If my Rebbe would see me doing this, he'd be disappointed, right? V'alag Misnefesh V'hu Lohay Merutza. He wouldn't be happy with what I'm doing. Eini Yochel, how could I do that? He loves me so much, how could I hurt him? And he's not going to see. How can I do something that his neshama will feel and be hurt, and that he would be disappointed? I can't disappoint him. Then you write to Lasses, and Yochel Lasses, Dovah Shal Agmas Nefesh. How can I do anything that if my father would know about it, my mother would cause them Agmas Nefesh? But if you're causing your kid, God forbid, Agmas Nefesh, and the kid has no problems causing you Agmas Nefesh. That's my parents are like this, I'm like that. How you ever see Kol Kach, my father loves me so much. There was one of the tzaddikim whose way was to use tremendous love. That's how he brought Jews back. He met once Yehudi, he met a Jew that was very, very far from Yiddishkeit. He was a person that wasn't keeping Shabbos. He was smoking a cigar on Shabbos, this guy. And the person who was smoking the cigarette saw the tzaddik from a distance. And he felt that if he keeps the cigarette lit and tries to hide it, he was coming, the tzaddik was approaching him, that the tzaddik will know that he was smoking. And the tzaddik will feel bad. He swallowed the cigarette while it was lit. Which was dangerous. Why? Because that tzaddik showed every Jew so much love that he didn't want the tzaddik to feel bad that he was smoking. He'll smoke, but at some time he'll stop smoking on Shabbos. That's how he was so worried that the Rebbe shouldn't feel bad. Not that the Rebbe would be angry at him, but the Rebbe would feel bad that this chil Shabbos. How can I do this to the Rebbe? How can I cause the Rebbe to feel bad? Is that fun of Mamish, right in front of him? Chazal Kadoshim Gilulon is Shagam Shlobefanim. And Chazal taught us that even if your parents are not there, right, like with Yaakov Avinu in the vision, discussions up, because Rucha Rucha, the last page. And then he ends, really, over here, he just repeats, so we don't have to go through it again. He's just chazering and strengthening us that we're living these last few moments before Mashiach comes, Tzimei says. And there's so much sorrow in the world. It's in Eretz Yisrael, especially. And there's so many dangerous things and scary things that are going on that we need unbelievable shmira. We need so much that our children should be watched, and they need so much that they need to be protected. And all the tzaddikim spoke about how, especially before Mashiach comes, the only way that the children will come out the right way is if they feel that Hashem Baruch loves them and cares about them. And so it is from all the tzaddikim. And finally, let's just read the last paragraph together. The Zahaya Tviya Alamaraglim was last week's parasha with the spies, Kamash Kosim Yasfasamas, Shegishu Besinas Hashemisana. When the spies came back and they gave that bad report, and all the Jews were crying, it was Tisha B'Av, and they said, what Besinas Hashemisana, that what the God hates us, that's why he took us out of Egypt. And when you think that God hates you, when you think that your parents hate you, then you lose your whole cheshek to be a Jew and to live. So before Mashiach comes, if we strengthen ourselves with our speech and with our hearts, and we remember how much the Baruch Hashem loves his children, that's us, the adults and the kids, how much Hashem loves us, with a great and infinite love, he loves each and every one of us. Told us that tzaddikim say shemarichim b'ahava rabba, which I spoke of many times, that bracha before kriya shema v'ahavas oilam v'ahava rabba, the Baal Shem Tov said that if you say that with a lot of feeling and you say it long, so maybe a segula brings Mashiach closer, because that whole chapter is, that whole paragraph is about how Hashem loves us so deeply, and that gives a child the feeling to say shema when he feels that Hashem loves him and we feel that Hashem loves us. As much as we review this and sing and we dance, the bracha before Shema is Hashem, you chose your people Yisrael with love. They say Yemina Techab Keni, that to feel Hashem is hugging us. And every little mitzvah that we do, and every little bit of davening, any kind thing that we do, that Hashem Mamish loves so much. So may Vigula, this brings redemption. May Vigula of Nevenem Laman Shemo be Ahava, with love. That's how you bring Gula, be Ahava, with love. Akshavay, as a man, Lahavia Segula, the time has come to bring redemption. Anachnum of Akshum Kulanu Yachad. So you see, he ends with a little bit of a davening of Simeya. Try to imagine how it was like when he was doing this together. My son-in-law was just telling me what this past Shabbos was like by Rabbi Simeon. The screaming, the crying was unbelievable. This past, my son-in-law in Yerushalayim goes every single Shabbos Shudas Simeon for hours. He goes to Rabbi Simeon. This is when he says Torahs. So he says here at the end, he says, let's all of us ask together, as I've initiated my Father in heaven, Tata, Father, Tazalonu, help us, Shinizka Kulana Biachad, that together we should be Zaych, Kol Kla Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, that we should be able to have a good influence with our children, to be mashpia, our students, all that you want us to be mashpia on them. Hashem, help us feel great love towards our children and towards our students. Someone help us to watch our children, to guard them and to protect them. And by us doing that, that we should awaken your love for us and your watching us and protecting us. As Hakivavas Shamram, that you guard us like the most precious thing in the world. Shakol Yiladenu Yu Kedoshim, please Hashem help us. That all of our children should be watched, should be holy, Nikiyim, they should be clean, with Tahirim and pure. That our children should be prepared to be able to face Mashiach, to greet Mashiach. Help us, Hashem, that we should be able to prepare the little last bit that you want us to do before Mashiach. We don't know. There's a little bit more that we need to do before Mashiach comes. Help us to do that little bit more. Maybe we say, like it says in the Torah, that tomorrow there'll be a yontiv. May it be mamish tomorrow, he says. My son-in-law told me that this Shabbos, he was talking about giving each Jew the benefit of the doubt. We spoke about last year. You know what Simei started to do? Listen to this. I can't describe, because he said that Simei was jumping 5 feet into the air. He said, this is what you should think about. He was saying, they're all men, right? Only men there. And you put on the tefillin on the arm, there are seven, right? Seven straps. Seven times. The heve dan es kol ha'odn l'kaf schutz. Kaf means the hand, right? Mm-hmm. He says, heve dan, each strap. you should, and he said he started to scream 10 times and yell, and he was going like into tefillin, heavy, done. So my son will said the rest of his life, he'd never be able to forget that we was on tefillin. That the main thing that Hashem wants is that we should be good to other Jews. When you put on tefillin, I mean, you're not putting on tefillin, heavy, done, it's the thing, he told this to me, yesterday, I can't stop thinking about this. Heavy, done, it's called halim lakaf schus, to be good to other Jews, to love other Jews, and give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and then Hashem Baruch will take care of us and watch us, and all of our children, that Hashem should go in the right way, and Hashem should give us the seichel to watch the children, to take care of them, like a sefer Torah, like a pair of tefillin, that Hashem should watch all Yiddish kinder, all Jewish children, and should be zeichel to Hashem, that with all of our children and grandchildren, and those who don't have children should be zeichel to have children, that we should Hashem be able to face Mashiach Tzikeinu and to say to Mashiach, we did the best we could. This is the best we could do. That's all that he asks of us, is the best we could do. And it should be Mitzvah Hashem. It should be soon. The Gula Hashem. Amen.